Welcome to the first 2009 meeting of the PNB Governance Committee. I'll call your name and just say present if you would. Actually, Marple, could you do that?
Okay, I'll try. This will not be in alphabetical order because I'm just getting names. I may miss one or two.
Great.
Ted Weisgall. Nia Bediako. Jim Brown. I'm not sure he's a member anymore, but Luzette King.
So Jim Brown's a PNB member.
Okay. I'm talking about committee members. Luzette King. Adrienne Jamont. Sharna Gluck.
Here. Present.
Padra Kilgour.
Present.
Ambrose Lane. R. Paul Martin. Here. Sean Casey O'Brien.
Present.
Zarv Rundawa. George Ryder.
Here.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Christopher Condon.
Here.
Maki Tanaka. Joseph Wanzala.
Present.
Kai Free. Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 8, which is a quorum. And if I didn't call, if you're here and I didn't call your name, please say so now.
Wesley Bethune.
Okay, Wesley Bethune is here too.
Okay, let's get started. You should all have copies of the agenda. I think the first order of business is to elect the chair. I'm the convener, but not necessarily the chair. I'd actually like to be the chair, so if anyone wants to nominate.
I would like to nominate you, George. This is okay. Wesley Bethune.
Thank you, Wesley.
And Condon, I will second that nomination.
Thank you, Chris. Is there anyone else that wants to be the chair?
Mr. Convener.
Yes.
Okay, I think the thing is that even if we end up with only one person, we'll end up having to elect the chair by ballot, which is the way the bylaws, the PNB has wanted it in the past. So maybe what we need to do is elect a chair. Well, we have a convener, so the convener is there.
I'll be the chair for this meeting, and then the ballot is sent out. Is that right?
Right, and then for the next meeting, we'll probably have a full-blown chair.
Okay.
This is Chris Condon. Can I make a suggestion, please?
Certainly.
When someone begins speaking, could they identify themselves? And the identification, like Chris Condon, KPFK.
Yeah, that'd be good for certainly to start with.
Got it.
Okay. The first item on the agenda is the whistleblower policy.
Point of information. If we only have one candidate for chair, do we need to go through the process of sending out ballots? Can't we just elect him by unanimous consent?
No. This is Sharna, ABFK. According to the bylaws, there has to be a secret ballot, even if it's just one person.
For committees?
Committees?
Yes.
Where's that in the bylaws?
Any election. That's how all the committees have run up until now.
Yeah, but we're not meeting in person. We're meeting over the phone.
Oh, how all of the committees run, Chris.
Wait a minute. Where is that in the bylaws? I've been through them, and I haven't seen that. I'm not saying it isn't there, but I've been looking at a lot of the bylaws, and I haven't seen anything like that. In fact, I'm going to pull up the bylaws.
I would like to move that we waive the rules by unanimous consent and elect Mr. Reiter as chair.
And who moves that?
Chris Condon, KPFK.
Yeah. Sean Casey O'Brien, KPFK, second.
I would like someone. I would like it to be checked in the bylaws because every committee I've been on, PNB committee, has followed what was understood to be the bylaw necessity to hold an election.
Well, what's I've got a motion on the table. If somebody wants to challenge that later, let's, you know, deal with it then. This is Chris Condon speaking, KPFK.
If it later turns out that indeed there is something in the bylaws that says that we shouldn't have done it this way, I'll resign and we'll have another election for chair.
Okay.
Well, okay, well, but first of all, Mr. Chair, our Paul Martin from WBAI. First, we would have to, in order to go according to the agenda, we'd have to adopt an agenda, and we haven't actually done that yet.
Yes.
Thank you.
Second, are we actually seriously thinking that we don't need to do this, because I can look it up rapidly here.
Well, you know, I wish you would, because I've been looking it up. I have them right in front of me, and I can't find anything. And I've been through Article 8, and I can't find anything about how the elections are supposed to go. I see the compositions of the committee. I see the standing committees. I see the committee of inclusion. Let's see here. Hold on.
Do a search on the word ballot.
For elections.
Delegate committee members shall be elected by their respective LSPs using instant runoff methods provided out of there. That's only for, that's only for electing committee members. It doesn't say anything about the committees electing their officers.
But it says earlier, this is our Paul Martin from BAI again, it says earlier on about how elections have to be run by a ballot.
You know what, Mr. Martin? I think that might be with the elections to the LSBs and the PMBs. And I'm not saying I'm wrong here, but I can't see anything right now that says how the committees should conduct themselves. I think we are conflating election of LSB members, LSBs putting members on national committees with the committees themselves picking their own officers. And I'm not so sure we should conflate the two.
This is Vajra. I just did a search on secret ballot, and the phrase is not found anywhere in the bylaws. Can you do a search just on elections? Because I think in the past, this is Sherna, the past committees I've been on, there's been an insistence that there had to be a ballot sent out to elect the chair, and it was based on a section, I don't have the bylaws in front of me, that seemed to imply that all elections within Pacifica had to be done that way.
This is George from KPFT. I was on the program committee last year, and we didn't do it that way. We elected Rob at the meeting, and there was never any ballot. And I wasn't aware of the rule that there should be. I'd like to suggest we do what I suggested, which is that we go ahead and vote on the motion in front of us. And if it turns out that there really is something in there and it's clear enough that we need to act on it, we'll do it next time. In the meantime, I'd like to get on with the meeting.
I call the question. This is Sean. I call the question.
You can't actually call the question in a committee meeting.
Okay. Find the word secret.
We were doing it the other night in the audit committee just to get things.
Well, just ask if there are any objections.
Yeah.
Are there any objections to doing it that way?
Yes.
That was our poll?
Yep.
Okay. Is there any objection to going ahead and voting on the motion in front of us?
Yeah, point of information. Paul's objection just means that we're going to take a vote on the issue, correct?
Well, he objects to... What is it you're objecting to, our poll?
You have asked if there were objections to the motion. Yeah, I'll vote against it.
Okay, so let him do his objection.
I don't hear an objection to voting on the motion then, so let's just vote on that. Arpo, would you call the roll?
boy. Now it gets more difficult. Let me get to that. All right.
Point of information, could the chair clarify for us what a yes vote means and what a no vote means?
Yes vote means that, as I understand it, that I'm being accepted as chair by acclamation. Who made the motion? Was it?
No. It was Chris Condon from KPFK, and I would like to repeat my request that when people speak, they identify themselves.
Thank you.
I have something in the bylaws that probably applies to this.
Who is speaking?
Grace.
Oh, hi, Grace. Please identify yourself.
Okay. It says here in under composition of board committees.
Governance, are you supposed to be on that, Lizette?
It says.
Okay, hold on a second. I'll get it.
Director committee members shall be selected by a majority of the vote, vote of the board. Using the instant runoff voting method, providing, however, that if there is an election for more than one committee member, then the board shall use a single transferable method of voting to select committee members.
That says nothing about who's the chair of the committee.
No, I'm sorry, I misread this.
Yeah, that's
pardon me.
The LSB. That's the LSB thing. And as far as I can tell, you know, and Mr. Paul, if I'm wrong, I'm happy to stand corrected. I think we're on pretty firm ground here. In terms of just picking the officers for the committee.
Okay. There was no objection to voting on Chris, would you say it again what the motion was?
The motion was that we suspend the rules if there is a rule and vote for you as chair.
Okay, so... So we're having a vote for me as chair. I presume a majority would.
Our Paul here, Mr. Chair. Could I suggest that the language after suspending a rule is and elect the chair tonight without ballot?
Is that?
Rather
okay,
than
fine.
Elect your chair.
Okay.
This is Sherna. And wasn't the original motion, Chris, that this would be checked out?
Could you repeat that, please, Chris? I mean, Sherna?
Wasn't the original motion that this be checked out? It makes the most sense to me, but...
Well, if we're wrong, we'll raise the issue next time. So far we haven't found anything that obliges us to send out written ballots. It seems like unnecessarily cumbersome and time-wasting when we could just be moving forward with this meeting. So my motion is to suspend the rules, but I'm going to withdraw that portion of suspending the rules because we haven't found a rule to suspend. And just that we, the motion is that we elect George as chair.
Is there any objection to voting on that motion as just stated?
This is Sherna. I feel that we would be on safer ground with the original motion. Chris, so that in case there is a rule, we acknowledge that that may be the issue.
No problem.
All right. So the motion is that we elect George chair by unanimous consent with the condition that should we find something in the bylaws, we will come back and revisit this question, and George will step down, we'll hold a new election.
That's understanding, except you don't have to elect me unanimously, I suppose, given all that. But
right. Well, okay, or if somebody wants to vote against it, I'm just saying under the circumstances. But let's take a vote, and if we're wrong, we'll revisit it, and we'll straighten it out.
Okay.
Okay, any objection to taking the vote now? Good. R. Paul, would you call the names of the people who are...
I'll call what I have as in front of me because I haven't had a time to alphabetize it, and I'm not sure I have everybody. So,
okay.
If I don't call your name and you're here, say something. Okay, Ted Weisgold, Thea Bediaco, Jim Brown, Luzette King.
Yes.
Luzette King is yes.
I said yes, I'm present.
We were taking a vote.
On. I'm sorry, Chad. I just came from work.
Oh.
We're voting on?
Electing George chair.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, well, no. That's, wow. Some way of putting it.
No.
The motion, if if people want to hear the motion again, as I have it,
please,
to suspend the rules if there is a rule and elect a chair tonight without ballots.
Right.
Correct. That's my motion.
Yeah.
This is Chris Condon, KPFK.
So, Luzette King.
Yes.
Adrienne Jamont. Sharna Gluck.
Yes.
Vajra Kilgour.
Yes.
Ambrose Lane. R. Paul Martin, no. Sean Casey O'Brien.
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa. George Ryder.
Yes.
Viv Shasto.
Yes.
She's not on the committee anymore. Sorry.
Wait a minute. Okay. Is Deb Shafto not on the committee?
She is not on the committee.
I'm not elected.
Wesley Bethune and Ted Weisgall are the members from KPFT from the LSP.
Okay. I have Weisgall and who else?
Wesley Bethune.
Bethune and you. Okay. All right. So.
I wasn't asked to vote. This is Chris Condon, KPFK.
Yeah, well, I didn't get there yet.
Oh, I see. I thought you were.
No, I'm not.
No, that's all better.
Christopher Condon.
Yes.
Aki Tanaka. Joseph Wanzala. Was here.
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, yes. Zakai Free. Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Okay, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody here I didn't call? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses, 1 no. Pass.
Okay. The next item, and we will get back to approving an agenda, but is secretary. I'd like to nominate R. Paul. R. Paul, are you willing to be secretary?
If the committee wants, I'll do it.
Is anyone else anyone else wish to be secretary?
Who was nominated for secretary?
R. Paul.
Okay.
Is there anyone else who wishes to be secretary? Hearing none, can we approve R. Paul on the same grounds that I was approved?
Yes.
R. Paul, will you vote for that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I wouldn't, but, you know, you're gonna, so, I'm not going to raise a ruckus about it.
Yeah. This is Chris Condon. I'd like to repeat a request I made earlier, just for particularly those of us who are new, that when a person's name is called or it might be R. Paul Station, you know, so we know where people are from. Like, R. Paul, where are you from?
WBAI.
Great. That's what I'd like to know. R. Paul, WBAI. Okay.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Since we're talking about rules, there is a standing rule from the committee that from last year that the committee meetings end at 10 o'clock. So I just wanted to state that this would be part of the agenda, and I'm just stating it.
Yeah, well, let's put that on the agenda, and let's move to approving the agenda. Does everyone have it in front of them? Anybody not have it in front of them? Is there anyone who doesn't have the agenda in front of them?
I don't. Luzette.
Okay, well, let me read it then. We just went through the election of a chair and secretary. We're going to approve the... it's okay to add things, and it's okay to change order. But as it stands now, we have whistleblower policy, confidentiality agreement, change of status from the listener to staff, application of the recently adopted 365-day rule to partial terms, that any member shall be able to have a comment made by listeners in the listener comment section of the meeting be recorded in the minutes. That's a motion to be approved by the PNB. We'll vote on that. Motions offered by Leslie Radford, one on volunteers, that the IED work with general managers to establish goals and processes for recruiting and training volunteers for appropriate station duties and present those goals and processes to the PNB within 6 weeks. The second one is 7B, that notices of PNB meetings and postings of agendas be in accord with Article 6, Section 4 of the Pacifica bylaws. There's a motion from Ted Weisgall, which quotes a section of the bylaws and then asks that recommend to the PNB that they request in writing an explanation from the GMs and PDs program directors on how they are implementing this bylaw, which asks station management to assure that station programming fulfills the purpose of the foundation, is responsive to the diversity of the listeners, and this is done in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner. And finally, I had one, which was two, actually. LSB chairs will be responsible for getting the names and contact information of everyone on the PMB committees from their LSB to the secretary of the PMB within 2 days of the conclusion of the January PMB meeting. Then the governance committee will solicit suggestions for changes in the bylaws and vet these for presentation to the PMB for action. So those are the 10 items. It seems I think probably we should add a first item, which Ron Paul was suggesting, which was, when do we want to adjourn? Did you want to make that as an addition, R. Paul?
R. Paul Martin, WBAI. Actually, my point was that there was a standing rule adopted by the committee at a previous incarnation, which is actually still there, and it says we end at 10. I just wanted to let people know about that. So there was that.
So we don't have to do
that part.
This is Chris Condon from KPFK. So we don't have to do anything. All we have to do is end at 10.
Or at 10 we can move to extend.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Hi, from WBAI. That's
yes?
10 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Which gives us only an hour and a half for a meeting. Rather than worry about that, I'd like to at least get into adopting an agenda and get some business done. So we'll stop at 10 unless we get a two-thirds vote to extend.
Right.
Debate
on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, I see item number 2. A committee is referring it to the committee. Did this actually happen from the committee went to the PNB and the PNB sent it to here?
Yes.
Okay, so it's actually a referral from the PNB.
Yes, it says the audit committee draft was referred to this committee, but it was done by the PNB.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Sherna, you're talking about confidentiality agreements?
No, that was the whistleblower policy, but it's true about that as well.
Oh, because everything I have doesn't show numbers on these agenda items.
I sent the most recent email I sent out, I numbered them all.
Okay.
I have it arrived at 4:38 today. 4:38 Pacific time today, Sherna.
Okay, who sent it?
I did. George Ryder. KPFT.
Okay, George, I'll look for it.
Okay. Any other changes to the agenda or suggestions for additions?
This is Chris Condon from KPFK. I'd like to propose an addition to the agenda, but I'd like to have it last. I don't know whether it needs to be a notice motion or what, but it might not be gotten to today, but I'd like to have it on the agenda so that it could at least be dealt with in old business at our next meeting.
Yes.
And the motion is, as an emergency austerity measure, that the position of program director be eliminated network-wide.
What? Excuse me, this is Vajra from WBAI. This is something you wish to put on the agenda of the Governance Committee?
Yes, for the Governance Committee to consider it and make a recommendation to the PNB.
This is Sherna.
That seems to be rather far out of our purview.
The committee is entitled to turn down agenda items if they wish.
Well, this is Sherna. I raised the same point that I raised before we actually started streaming, and that is what the charge and mandate is of the committee, that we aren't, I would hope, aren't the kitchen sink committee. This does not seem appropriate. It seems that would need to come out of finance and personnel both.
Other thoughts about this?
R. Paul?
Yeah. You're in, R. Paul.
R. Paul Martin, WBAI. Yes, while it's certainly debatable whether or not people want to add it in, I would say that it would be legal to make it and it might then go to the PNB, which would then refer it to other committees. So I would say it's legal and, of course, debatable.
Sean Casey O'Brien, KPFK. Am I recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Sean.
Since it's come up to what is the mandate of governance, the governance committee shall, which shall regularly review the foundation's bylaws and policies for governance of the board activities. That is it. Which I guess means we could put anything under our purview, but I do have a feeling that this probably would be better I don't know if it'd be personnel or not, but it doesn't mean that governance shouldn't weigh in on this. I'm just saying I agree with whoever said earlier that perhaps we should look at it, bring it to the PNB, and then let them dispose of it to the proper committee. Thank you.
Wait a minute. This is Vajra from WBAI. What do you mean by we look at it and then refer it to the PNB for them to take it to the proper committee? If the PNB wants to refer it to a committee, somebody has to raise it at the PNB meeting.
It
sounds like you're sort of back-ending it in through the governance committee?
No. No, I'm not back-ending anything into governance. I'm just saying, because they've been saying, what is the mandate of governance? And from what I'm reading here, our mandate can be anything that we think concerns policies of governance. And, so we could look at this. That's what I'm trying to say. Look at this, but we might want to look at it and just take it right to the PNB and let them decide where they want to.
But that's not an issue of governance. That's an issue of management.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm merely saying that under our mandate, we can just about look at anything. I'm not arguing the point with you. Thank you.
I don't think we have a mandate to manage the stations. But
the only issue before us at the moment is whether we want to accept this on the agenda or not. And if you feel it's inappropriate for the committee, vote against it.
We also speak, and I'm speaking against it.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Vajra.
That's okay. And anyone else who wishes to speak against it should be able to speak.
Yes, I would like to, with Sherna. The Governance Committee has a lot to deal with that is clearly governance, things like the whistleblower policy, which I think deserves a great deal of discussion. There are a lot of issues there that are conceivably problematic. People have raised concerns about the confidentiality agreement. These are things that seem appropriate to governance. There are at least three things. I think the one that Chris raised, that should a delegate, Sean Casey O'Brien is our delegate. He could take this directly to the PNB and let the PNB decide if we go to finance and personnel. There's another issue on that someone else introduced that should go to the programming committee. The governance committee is going to have a great deal to do, and adding things to it that are marginal at best when it comes to governance seem to be, frankly, a royal waste of our time.
Can I say something?
Lizette
from WP. Where am I from again, George? WPFW. I'm a little bit concerned about the discussion we're having right now. I think somebody read what the bylaws say. And we know that these bylaws aren't perfect. We should have had them reviewed a long time ago. They're not being reviewed. And it seems as if we keep reviewing these bylaws in every committee that I certainly am a part of. I'm not sure it's appropriate. As far as I'm aware, from what was read, if you want to interpret it to the letter, anything can be on this committee right now. If we want to change it, then we need to be working. I think one of the things the governance committee can work towards, and this is one item I'd really want to be involved with, is to get that conference or whatever it is going to get these bylaws changed or amended. I believe that is in the bylaws itself, that after a year that we've set up, a year or so, we should have review these bylaws. While I agree we shouldn't be used as a dumping ground, I do not quite agree that we should be reviewing the bylaws in committees like this at this point.
Anyone else want to speak to this issue, whether we'd accept this as an agenda? Okay, I'd like to speak to it. My own sense is it is going through the Finance Committee, but Chris is, after all, not on the Finance Committee, and he wanted to have this considered at least a path to get it to the DNB. However, I would ask Chris if he'd be willing to take it off and send it that way. If not, we'll just take a vote on it.
I would like to take a vote on it. This is Chris. I made the motion. I would like to speak to motivating the motion for just a brief moment. I made the motion and was willing for it to be last on the agenda. Clearly, we might not get to it this evening, and action might be taken on the motion or a similar motion in another committee or on the PNP in the meantime. So I would like to take a vote on accepting it as an agenda item and just see where it goes.
Okay, can we go to
the assembly?
Taking a vote on that.
Point of privilege of the assembly?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, about, I don't know about other people, but for me, about one-third of your last speech didn't come through.
Really?
I guess another aircraft went over. There was a bunch of noise and didn't get over here. So, basically, could I maybe suggest not using the speakerphone?
Yeah, in fact, I think I can probably put it on this. I'll have to think a little bit about that. Let me just make sure I come back on again. Just a moment. Can you hear me now? Can you still hear me? Okay, so that should be a bit better anyway.
It is much better. Thank you.
It's less better. It's less clear this way. At least you won't hear so much of the airplane. Is there any objection to going ahead with a vote on whether to put this on the agenda or not? Okay, hearing none, Arpaul, would you call the roll?
Could we be reminded of exactly what we are being asked to think about putting on the agenda? I just want to be 100% sure.
Chris, would you like to read it again?
As an emergency austerity measure, that the position of program director be eliminated network-wide.
Okay. Arpaul, would you call the roll?
Okay. Ted Weisgel. Nia Bediako. Jim Brown. Lizette King.
Yes.
Adrian Jamot. Sharna Gluck.
No.
Vajra Kilgour?
No.
Ambrose Lane? R. Paul Martin? Yes. Sean Casey O'Brien?
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa? George Ryder?
I abstain.
Christopher Condon?
Yes. Yes.
Aki Tanaka? Joseph Wanzala?
Yes.
Zakai Free. Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
From Wesley Bethune. Is there anyone whose name I haven't called? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6 yes, 1, 2, 2 no, 1 abstention.
So it's item 11 on the agenda. I would like actually to move my number 10, which was that the Governance Committee will solicit suggestions for changes in the bylaws and vet these for presentation to the PMB for action. Essentially, that we will take some responsibility for looking to see whether bylaws need to be changed and making those suggestions to the PMB. I'd like to move it up to after number 4, change in status from listener versus staff, and before number 5, application of the recently adopted 365-day rule. My reason for that is I would like to get started on this. If the committee approves it, moving it up doesn't mean we approve it, but
If we do, I'd like to get started doing that as soon as possible. I see it as something that's going to take us essentially all year. Is there any objection to putting it in that position?
Could you just please restate the position?
Would be after number four, change in status from listener to staff, or listener versus staff, and before number five, application of the recently adopted 365-day rule to partial terms.
So it would be like 4A.
4A, yes. Okay, hearing no objection, is there any other changes or additions to the agenda?
This is Chris Condon, KPFK. Is Leslie Radford with us this evening?
She is not. She couldn't be here. She wanted to be, thought she could be, but she some work thing came up and she can't be here with us.
All right, in that event, I would like to move that the motions offered by Leslie Radford would be best heard when she is present and can motivate the motions, and so I would like to move that that be placed last on the agenda.
I second that.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Hearing none? Are there any other changes or additions to the agenda?
Question, who's making that motion?
That was Chris Condon.
KPFK. And I'm making it not because I'm opposed to the motions, but that's, I think that the motion should be discussed when Leslie is present and she's able to motivate the motions.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, any other changes, additions? Good. Hearing none, let's get on to the first item, which is the whistleblower policy. You should all have that in front of you. Do you, in fact? Is there anyone who needs to have it sent to them?
This is Chris Condon, KPFK. I have not seen the whistleblower policy. I have been briefed on the issue by Sean Casey O'Brien, and I have an opinion on the matter.
Okay, I will send it.
I haven't seen it either. I think we should table it until we can either see it or.
Well, it was.
I mean, the part I don't get. I'm sorry. This is Vajra from WBAI.
Mm-hmm.
If the PNB wanted further work done on anything done by an other committee, they needed to send it back to that committee. That's where that needed to go. How this got to us is a mystery.
Sean Casey O'Brien, I'd like to get on the stack when possible.
Sean. Finish what you're saying, Vajra.
I'm finished.
Okay.
I'd like to be on the stack, too, at Sherna.
So Sean and then Sherna.
Okay. The reason that it went back to governance is there's lots of problems that go above and beyond the audit committee. This policy, as it is so written or now written, conflicts with California law, Labor Code 1102.5. It has many negative implications for the staff. AFTRA has already threatened legal action or legal recourse if we ensnarl any of their members in the whistleblower policy that we're proposing. And it's also probably unnecessary in light of the existing California state law, which has very strong protections for whistleblowers, and the recent Supreme Court ruling that came out just a couple of weeks ago, a unanimous decision protecting whistleblowers under the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. So, as it now stands, we probably have a very good whistleblower policy in place. The fact that we're a California corporation, incorporated in California, that is the state law that's going to affect all of our sister stations if this question ever comes up with a station outside of California. So that's the reason that it was brought into governance. We also haven't talked to our new interim counsel about all these issues. So there are many more legal issues and liability issues that we need to consider above and beyond the audit committee. Thank you.
Sherna, you were next.
Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't know the things that Sean just explained. I felt it was critical to be on governance because it is a much bigger issue. It's not just about audit. But if indeed there are all of these legal questions and there has been complaints from the staff, I mean, one of my concerns about the policy that was sent to us was the section for the employees I found
right.
very troubling, then I'm not sure it makes sense for us to discuss it tonight. However, it seems to me we need all of the various documents we need a legal opinion before we should be discussing it. I'm not sure what the point is of our discussing it if there are all these problems.
This is Vajra from WBAI. I haven't even seen it. And it seems to me that I'm going to say what I said before. If something comes out of a committee and there's a problem with it, it should go back to that committee. The audit committee produced it. They can talk to the lawyers. They can redo it with the same direction. There's something just too odd about this whole setup.
Vajra, it is on the very first email that I sent trying to put this committee meeting together. It's attached there, and I will send it out again right now as soon as I find it. But there are other documents that were alleged to that we might want to look at, including the statement about the labor code.
We need to see these things, not just hear about them.
Well, I'm going to attach both of them in that case.
R. Paul for stack.
Okay, R. Paul. I don't think is anyone else on the stack. I wasn't. Okay, R. Paul, it's you.
R. Paul Martin, WBAI. I agree that we probably should see more stuff about this. I've seen this in another committee, and at that time, some people did indeed raise the legal issues, and what I saw originally broke the law. And so I'm thinking that maybe what we need to do is postpone this item to the next meeting with the proviso that we will have all documentation that the PNB currently has relating to this, including if there has been any opinion by any counsel, if there are relevant parts of the California Code that leap right out and contravene this, and stuff like that, you know? So I guess I'm going to move to postpone this agenda item pending getting more documents from the PNB.
Mr. Second. Chair, this is Sean Casey O'Brien, KPFK. I'd like to second that motion, and I will be very happy to send out to all of you the legal research that I have done on this. You don't have to take my word on any of it, but I do state the black letter law, and I cite everything. And I'll be very happy to forward that to any and all of you.
Okay.
Sure.
And I second the motion.
The motion has been moved and seconded to postpone. So let's discuss postponing. Who's that wanting to get on?
This is Sherna.
Sherna?
Were you saying, Sean, that the interim legal counsel has also been consulted on this?
I have forwarded to him my concerns. I can't say that he's seen them or not. He's a very busy guy, but they have been forwarded.
Well, I'd like to request that we get those as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have a motion on the floor to table. Do we need to take a vote on it, Mr. Chair?
We do, are there any objections to tabling this motion now?
It's a postpone, not table.
Sorry, it was a motion. That's correct. It was a motion to postpone. Until one, what time, R. Paul?
To the next meeting.
To postpone until the next meeting.
Yeah, to postpone this item to the next meeting and get all the documents related to it from the PNB.
Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, the motion is postponed to the next meeting, and I will forward the documents that I have, including the whistleblower policy, to the board, to the committee right now.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, point of information.
Yes.
Are those the documents I sent you, or should I also send?
It's the SB 77 labor code.
Right.
It's the AFTRA document. And
yeah, it's what I sent you. And if you send that out, I think that will cover anything.
That'll cover it all.
And put me on there. I'll double check that when you send it.
And
thank
you can add anything else. That's fine. Okay. Well, that's what we will do then. And it's going out this moment. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the confidentiality agreement. Again, you should have, that's been sent out before. I can send it out again if need be. Lizette, you were, this was referred by the PNB to the governance, as there were some people, and Luzette was one of them, if I'm not wrong, I'm mistaken about that, who felt it was too inclusive and objected to it. Luzette, would you be willing to speak to the issues that you see around that first?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure why it is we have to be signing something like this. We're all board members. I think from the training we had enough information. We're adults, and we should know what should be confidential and what shouldn't, first. Secondly, there were veiled threats, very verbose things, and I'm not sure why it was. Obviously, there might have been something happening around that time. It seemed to reflect something that was happening, and somebody like me, who hasn't been party to that to whatever was happening, seemed to be involved in it. And I think it's not appropriate. It's not necessary, and so I would not continue with it.
Ms. Sherna, I'd like to speak.
Sherna?
This is for everyone in the foundation, is my understanding. That's been the case when we've signed these before. That's LSB, all LSB board members, and anyone that is involved in any way with confidential information. This is standard practice in any organization. We may be diligent, but, you know, we have had violations of confidentiality, and we may continue to have violations of confidentiality even when people do sign a document. But at least if there's a document, there is a way to hold people to it, and, in fact, some action can be taken if they violate confidentiality. We can have legal liabilities when people violate confidentiality of personnel matters.
Mr. Chair, this is Sean Casey O'Brien, KPFK. On the stack.
Go ahead.
On the stack, please.
Yeah, that's it. You're in.
Okay. I think we're already bound by our ethics policy, which lays out that we have to keep all information regarding. I'm looking it up as we talk. It's in our ethics policy. Here, I just had it and I dropped it. I'll find it for you in just a second.
Where is that, Sean?
I am looking right now in our, and I dropped it when I was picking it up. I apologize. It's in our Pacifica Foundation Ethics Policy and Code of Ethics. Here we go, Code of Ethics. Maintain the confidentiality of information entrusted to them by the Pacifica Foundation or its listeners, except when authorized or otherwise legally obligated to disclose. And I think that covers board members as well as employees, since it is our ethics policy. But it's right there in black and white.
This is Sherna. That does not carry with it any kind of penalty for violation. Confidentiality agreement does. And
no, if you violate your ethics,
let me finish, Sean.
Yes, please.
I apologize.
And that is what protects us legally.
Chair.
Who's that?
It's Luzette.
Luzette, you're
yes.
On stack. You're it.
I agree that we should be bound by confidentiality, but where it stands right now, we're not even clear what should be confidential and what shouldn't. We're discussing matters behind closed doors that listeners should be party to. For example, we were told by our trainer that the only things that should be confidential in executive session should be those things that relate to acquisitions or personnel. And what I believe is that is happening right now, we as a board, we seem to be taking all sorts of things behind closed doors and call it confidentiality and then have us signing things to keep it quiet. We're supposed to be more transparent than we are right now. And I think the effort should be made on bringing our listeners up to speed, letting them know what's happening in the foundation, rather than keep them out with these veiled threatening documents.
This is Vajra from WBAI.
Vajra, go ahead.
You know, at my job, I don't have to sign anything, but they did send everybody a copy of the pamphlet on their ethics, and they reiterate constantly, these are what the ethics are, this is what we expect of you, and it is not generally considered that you're going to plead innocence or ignorance if you, you know, hand over some information that is really proprietary to the company to somebody else.
Right.
And it seems to me that what is necessary, and I'm very sympathetic to the problem of taking things behind closed doors, not to protect a staff member, but to protect the an LSB or a PNB itself that wants to take a very unpopular decision. But it seems to me that if the policy is clearly spelled out, that every member of every board should have a copy of it as soon as the board, that board, as soon as they are seated.
Exactly.
And whether they have to sign for that they got it or not,
exactly.
I'm not sure I care. But I just don't want, because we also have people, I mean, the same people who may be prone to have meetings behind closed doors to protect themselves are equally prone to blur the edges, shall we say,
right.
of confidentiality in order to further their agendas. So I think that it needs to be spelled out very clearly, and there should be a policy. I mean, not only the policy of confidentiality, but a policy of seeing to it that every single person who serves on a board has a copy of it and understands mm-hmm. that they're meant to abide by it, and there needs to be some consequences for not mm-hmm. abiding by it.
That's right.
If you know, if I do it where I work, I'll be fired.
And Mr. Chair, Sean Casey,
Our Paul for Stack.
Sean Casey, and then Our Paul.
Yeah, I would.
Chris Condon, KPFK on the Stack.
Chris, yes, I would humbly disagree with my esteemed colleague Sherna. Even if you don't sign something, if you break an ethics policy, you're going to be in trouble. You can be not only fired, but you could, Pacifica could hold these people responsible because they violated our ethics policy. And as long as that policy is clearly laid out and shown to them, they're under it, whether they sign a piece of paper or not, or at least that's my understanding of ethic codes.
Awful.
Yeah, I agree with much that has been said. First of all, I'm not seeing in the messages the confidentiality agreement stuff per se. However, I have signed one for another committee, so I guess I probably know about that. I only see the whistleblower policy thing
being sent out.
It was sent
out about a week ago, and I'll send it out again.
A week ago, okay. Anyway, I agree with the fact that, you know, nobody's going to be able to write some contingency that will cover everything, especially in Pacifica. I mean, you know, we're not exactly the most structured entity in the planet. Also, since this is Pacifica, I think I will bring up, now and again, people have been known to somewhat disagree with each other in Pacifica, and I can see people using this to batter each other over the head even more, and little gotchas and stuff like that, and I agree that common sense should prevail on this. I can tell you this, I've been on the BAI LSB for 5 years, and we haven't had to sign this stuff, and we haven't gotten these packets. I think the PNB members, the directors, get these packets. The LSBs don't get these packets, but simply having the PNB say, send out an email or a mailing to everybody on every LSB saying, you have to watch it, should be sufficient.
Send out our ethics policy.
Chris Condon, you're next.
I'm very suspicious of confidentiality agreements because of the reasons that have been spoken out on by others this evening. And I think that whatever we are asked to sign, I signed a confidentiality agreement on the LSB. Doesn't that cover this as well?
I believe it's the same one.
Okay. I think it should be, then, if you know, I'm not that opposed to it, but as a, you know, an LSB member, a listener LSB member, I think my obligation to keep listeners informed about what's going on, trumps anything but the very narrowest definitions of confidentiality that, you know, personnel issues, legal issues, and whatnot. And I presume that that confidentiality agreement would only apply to matters raised in executive session. Am I right?
Right.
Yes, correct. It is. That's precisely what it's about, yes.
I'm finished.
Okay. I'd like to be on the staff, please. Sherna.
Sherna, go ahead.
Okay. I think people are conflating the abuse of the call for executive sessions and the need for confidentiality agreement. As Chris correctly pointed out, this is for material discussed or issues discussed in executive session. And once again, even though there may be an ethics policy, which I don't think most people see, because it's in a policy handbook, which is outdated, there's nothing, no provision for what to do when confidentiality is violated. And I can tell you that confidentiality has been violated by members of our LSB. And I believe it's critical, and I think it's very serious.
Jeff?
And we should not be conflating the abuse of having executive sessions with the need for confidentiality. We could spell out very specifically what it covers, if that's what the issue is, and people are concerned that there are executive sessions that should not be secret.
Jeff?
Lizette, was that you?
Yes, it was. I'm not too au fait with the English language, so I'm not sure what conflating means, but I want to make the point very clear. Somebody mentioned earlier, and I think Sean might have misunderstood. I understood somebody saying that everybody on the board, and by extension the LSB, should have a copy of whatever ethics policy we have and sign something to say that we all have received a copy and understand it. I do not believe that what was important or is important is to, for somebody, for us to pay our general counsel to put together a document with veiled threats to shut us up. And I will repeat, we have been putting things behind closed doors that do not belong there. And we should be spending more time narrowing the things that we take in executive session than signing documents to keep the listeners out. This is how I see this.
I'm going to put myself on the stack. I think there are several issues here. One is, should we have any confidentiality agreement at all that we sign? Or should we simply assume that by accepting membership on the PNB or the LSB, you agree to the rules of confidentiality spelled out wherever they're spelled out, and actually I don't know that they're spelled out anywhere other than in this confidentiality agreement. Well, the other is, should we have some means of acknowledging that we've seen the confidentiality agreement, we know what it is, and the third is, this particular confidentiality agreement, is this suitable, or does it contain things that we think are improper? So, I mean, my sense is that while I certainly hear the concern about putting things into confidential meetings that really shouldn't be there, I think that's a separate issue. I think the question with the confidentiality agreement is that we see what the rules are and we agree to those. And we're sort of stating it formally rather than allowing it to be just assume that you know what they are. I don't know if that has legal implications or not, frankly, but it seems to me a good idea.
Mr. Chair, can
else?
I get on the stack? Sean?
Who's that? Sean, yes.
I have to say that I think a better policy might be, rather than try to nitpick our way through this confidentiality statement they want us to sign or agreement that they want us to sign, perhaps it is the wiser course to make sure that everybody, staff, PNB, LSB, and everybody gets a copy of our confidentiality agreement, and they sign that they have actually read it and understand it. Because then, if they do that, it's very clear in our ethics policy that you, everybody has to protect confidential information. We're already covered. And I do believe that the confidentiality statements that we signed as LSB members would cover us anyway. So as far as I'm concerned, we're covered under the ethics committee, and we should give everybody, it's a three or four page document. It's not a long document. And just get them to sign that they've read it. And then you are covered, and if somebody breaks that agreement, it's found out, management has a right to legally go after them. They're as covered as if they didn't sign a confidentiality agreement per se.